Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 519. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're both available for you free of charge, including the postage and handling. This is a very unique program, I'll tell you that. Many people write in and tell us about it. I've got letters today. I've got a powerful message for you today that will bring you closer to the Lord and closer to the understanding of how to interpret His Word, because there's no private interpretation of the Word. You have to receive it just as it is. Now, we've been talking about the book of Job and all the different things that are in it. And, you know, there's a lot of false prophets and false teachers. And there are literally millions of different versions of people's interpretations of the Word of God. And some of them are very clever. I'll tell you, they're pretty clever. And sometimes when people are studying the Bible, it just seems too straight for them to receive it as it is. Because these clever false prophets, these phonies, they just love to play with your mind, and they love to play with your eternal soul. I like to remind people that you have but one human soul, and you have to make sure that your soul is right with the Lord by receiving the Lord, the kingdom of heaven, as though it were a little child, Jesus, the little infant Jesus. When you accept a little infant Jesus into your spirit, then you have to continue receiving the Lord Jesus into your spirit, because the entire Word of God is Jesus. And as you grow in the Lord, you're able to understand the true and one and only interpretation of the Bible. And when you're receiving anything other than that, well, then you're receiving some other child, and the Bible calls that not the Lord Jesus, but a bastard, one that doesn't come from the Lord, doesn't have God as the Father. Do you understand?
Yes.
So anything other than the Word of God, which is Jesus, unless you're weaning, getting ready to be weaned to receive stronger word of the Lord Jesus, you're never going to grow. As a matter of fact, you won't go to heaven, because you have to grow with the true interpretation of the Bible. The Bible says that there's no private interpretation, because God doesn't give you 150 or a million varieties what to choose of with the Word of God. He just has you receive Him. And Him is the Word. Him is the kingdom of heaven. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the kingdom of heaven. And so we have to receive the kingdom of heaven. Let's see. Let's find that in the Word of God here. It's in the book of Luke, if you will. It's verse 17 in chapter 18. He says, verily, Jesus says, this is for sure, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, which is me, I am the kingdom of God, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am the I am the Alpha, the Omega, I am everything. Okay, this is what God said. This is what Jesus says. Amen?
Amen.
He's the Almighty. He's the kingdom of heaven. Anyone that doesn't receive the kingdom of God as if the kingdom of God were a little child, a little babe Jesus, shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. We shall in no wise enter therein. Okay? And so the Bible also tells us that this is the true instructions of the Lord. But this is his judgment. You say, well, I don't like that judgment. Chapter 7 of the book of Matthew states, judge not. Don't you judge any other way. Don't make up some other interpretation of the Bible. This is my judgment, the Lord says. You stay off of your stinking judgment, the millions of different judgments. It says, judge not, that ye be not judged by me. Don't use your own judgment, or I'll judge you. Now, in the book of Jude, while they're teaching these false, he's talking about the false preachers and teachers and evangelists, where their false teaching is clever and it's subtle, the false teaching, very deceptive and enticing. It just makes you want to believe it. But it's not God's judgment, and it's not the kingdom of heaven, the little babe, that you must receive the kingdom of heaven like a little infant, Jesus. It's not that, not even remotely close to the infant Jesus, the false teachings that these very deceptive and clever and enticing people are delivering in thousands of different forms, even millions of different forms today. The common way to recognize it is to look behind their false spiritual fronts and take a look at their wicked lives. Now, this can be found in 2 Peter, because I just want you to know that I'm not making this up. 2 Peter chapter 10, verse 10, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 10, 12, 18, and 19. Go ahead and read it.
But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government.
They hate the truth. That's why in the book, the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, it says that the entire world of people, these false teachers and the people that have been taught by them, will hate the two witnesses of God, the most powerful witnesses that ever lived. They'll hate them so much that they'll actually send presents one to another, because they're dead now, laying on the streets, no one to bury them, no one to do anything with them. They just love it. The whole world will see them laying on the streets. And so this prediction was made long ago, during the time of the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. And so, if they didn't hate the Word of God, if you people out in the world didn't hate the Lord so much, then why are you on such false doctrine? And why are you not supporting the only church on the face of this earth that is laying it out cold turkey for you? You're sending money to the Antichrist churches. Okay, read it.
Presumptuous are they.
Yes, and you're very presumptuous, too. You presumed that those of us that are really preaching the truth, that we're wrong. And you presumptuously believe all the false stories they tell about us. There was a friend of mine that was in prison with me. He was here a few days ago. And he couldn't believe what they're saying. He says, I know. I watched you in your cell while you were there. You were just studying. You had your magnifying glass because you can't really see that good. And you'd have people in the prison. You'd give them candy or something, whatever they wanted, oranges and things like that, if they'd read to you. And so that you could write the things that the Lord would give you as you're doing that. And then when I got to know him real well, he came up. I didn't really know him well at that time, but he was walking down the, had migraine headaches, and I prayed for him, and the migraine headache went away like it does to everybody. And I prayed. That's the endorsement that the Holy Spirit is with me. These signs shall follow those that believe. And so the people in this world are believing the wrong thing, and that's why so many of them are dying, like the stinking frogs in Egypt, and from so many vile diseases. Go ahead, keep on.
Self-willed.
They are self-willed. They have their own interpretation of the Bible, and there is no prayer. You must receive the kingdom of God like a little infant Jesus. Jesus is the word you, there's only one interpretation of it, and it is Jesus' interpretation. All of your interpretations are rotten, filthy, and they're going to take your soul to hell. Then what?
They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities.
No, these people just tell all kinds of lies about the Lord. They're even lying about him to this day, saying that he had sex with different women that were around him. They would have never, and his disciples never would have died upside down with their heads chopped up and everything else if they saw any larceny in him whatsoever. This is, you're just presumptuous. You have your own private interpretation. You don't believe the Bible. You believe the History Channel, that bunch of lying dogs that have, they're so presumptuous that they're going to teach the word of God and they're not even saved. And then what?
Verse 12, but these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed.
Yes, you people that have your own interpretation and you don't receive the kingdom of heaven like, which is Jesus, as a little infant. Okay, then what? You're like a natural brute beast. Then what?
Made to be taken and destroyed.
You will be destroyed. You can count on the word of God. That's the true interpretation. That's God's judgment. He has a judgment, and it is totally according to his word, his interpretation, and not yours at all. You can hold a good thought if you think that you're going to, without punishment, say the things that you're saying about God and his people, but you're going to die the death, and you're going to die eternally, screaming your filthy mouth out, and you're going to be gnawing on your tongue and grinding your teeth for pain. Then what?
They speak evil of the things that they understand not.
They don't understand anything, and they speak evil about it. They'll never speak evil about the sex crimes of the Vatican, the filthy sex crimes, those filthy homosexual child molesting Vaticanites, and the people that kill for them, and their Blackwater, filthy, stinky troops that go and murder for them. But they just, you know, we're on to you, you stinking weasels out there. We're on to you, and I'm advising everybody to don't listen to you. You're not a government of God. You're Satan's government, and that's no government at all. It's just tyranny, a blasphemy, murder, incest, corruption. You're a filth. You're filth. Then what?
And they shall utterly perish in their own corruption.
Okay, so you're going to perish in your filthy sins, and you're going to die the death, you filthy scumbuckets. Then what?
Verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh.
Right. In other words, with their interpretation, they allure by the lusts of flesh. Then you know how they do that? They say, there's no hell, just like Satan told Eve in the Garden of Eden. There's no hell. And God, you know, wants you to just have fun and just live a life of corruption. It's not corruption, really, they say. You could do whatever you want. After all, you only live once and all these things. But that's your interpretation. And where you get it out of the Bible, I see nothing like that there. It's totally the opposite. You're going to die in your corruption. Then what?
They allure through the lust of the flesh.
Yeah, though you won't die. You'll get, go ahead and have sex and be lesbians and homosexuals. This is Satan, and you believe Satan more than you do God, and therefore you have to spend eternity in hell, because the most important thing to God is His Word. He said that He values His Word more than His name. And you're saying that His Word is wrong? Die, dog. Die, you filthy dogs. And you will. God will kill you. He promises this is His judgment for you. So you're not to judge otherwise, because God's judgment is true, not yours. Then what?
They allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error.
Yeah, those that are clean escape. They want you to live like they do in a false way. Then what?
Verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage.
So that's what the Lord is saying. Anyone that is overcome, if you're overcome by another interpretation of the Bible, you don't want to receive the kingdom of heaven like a little infant, which is Jesus, and then let Jesus grow up in you. You're going to be what with your own corruption?
Overcome, brought into bondage.
Brought into bondage, that means jail, eternal hell, locked up behind bars, in a burning inferno, in a lake of fire that you'll be swimming in, and you'll never be able to get out. Father God, I pray, I thank and praise you, Lord, for this word, which is your judgment, to show us that there's no private interpretation of the Bible. There's only your interpretation of the Bible, and that's your judgment, and it's going to come to pass. So therefore, I ask, Lord, that you open up the hearts of everyone out in Radio Land. They don't want to be able, they don't want to carry a cross, Father. But show them how horrible hell is. Show them a vision of hell and how horrible it is. Show them what your judgment is, that your judgments are true and righteous and clean. And show them, Lord, that they must accept you, Jesus, as a little child, just as you came into this world. And you're the life-giving spirit, and your life-giving spirit will enter them. And then they must build on that spirit, that little infant. And that they should, they must only use your word and the right interpretation of it to be able to make it through this world in righteousness, and then be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord, this is why you say in your word, the whole duty of man is to fear God. Fear not that you won't accept him, but fear that you so much that you will accept him into your heart as a little child, the kingdom of heaven, and then fear the judgment of the Lord, that you must read and read and read and read and study and pray that you'll get the right interpretation, and that so that it'll take you right into heaven. Lord, that souls will be saved and the church strengthened, and also that we need to constantly pray because we're living in perilous times. Satan is very presumptuous and very wicked, and we need, according to your judgment, we need to pray without ceasing. Pray always for the devil to be stopped, because he's doing his best to destroy every Christian church, every Christian person, and every attempt to do anything, and to build a wall of fire around all the different things that bring finances into our church, because we're out for bear. Lord, we're out to destroy, with the word of God, the enemy. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Now then, I've got a wonderful song here. You're Not Home Yet. And it's by Porter Wagner and the Blackwood Brothers. Go ahead.
You're not home. You're not home. You're not home yet. I can still hear my Lord's voice ringing. There'll be a crowd to greet you.
If you've got 2 or 3 minutes, I'd like to tell you a story. It's a story about a preacher. But this story I want to tell you is about a particular preacher who went overseas to fight a war. Now this was a war for God and not for any country. And he fought a long, long time, and he won a lot of souls. But finally this preacher got old, and he was coming home. He just happened to be on the same ship with someone who we call a famous celebrity. When the boat docked, there were thousands there to meet the celebrity, and they carried him off on their shoulders. But you know, there wasn't no one there to meet the preacher. And he looked into the heavens and said, God, did you forget? And it seemed like the heavens broke open, and he said, no, son, I didn't forget, but you must remember, you're not home yet. I didn't forget, but son, you're not home yet.
Yes, we have to remember that we're not home yet. They give so much credence in this world to celebrities and different sports figures and all different types of things, boxing, kickboxing, this football, baseball, basketball, and all these different things, and they don't mean a thing. Those people know they're nothings, but they get so puffed up by the worship of people, and what people are doing is placing them before God. You hear them screaming and pleading and crying out and praising these people, because they carried a bull for a while and somebody tackled somebody. Boy, that's what I even knew when I was unsaved and in grade school. I almost broke my neck playing football. And I figured, man, why should I play football? These guys are playing them so they'll get girls. I didn't have any trouble getting girls. I never had any problem like that in my whole entire life. And now I'm glad to, just say that I preserved my life by not playing football anymore, because I really almost got killed one day playing it. So now we have to have an interpretation of the Word of God, eh? Don't we? Well, don't we have to have the right interpretation of the Word of God?
Amen.
Yes, and what interpretation is that?
God's interpretation.
God's interpretation. There's no confusion with the Word of God. So many people are spinning around, their heads are spinning, all these preachers are saying the same thing, or different things, and some of them are saying, twisting on one part of the Word. You need to pick up the Bible and read it for yourself. It's very easy to understand. I have a little 6-year-old girl that understands the Bible. And my boy, Zion, when he was just very young, he understood it very well, the correct interpretation. You can't really deceive him with a false interpretation because he's been taught. He read the Bible. So now we have to have interpretation, the right interpretation, God's interpretation. What it is we're challenged by the Lord to interpret the Word of God properly with His interpretation, rightly dividing the Word, because there are no doctrinal issues discussed. It's just one interpretation, the Lord's. The challenges of a book, the Bible, have to do with interpretation. That means in the normal process of discerning the meaning of each text. Jude does quote from canonical books, like from the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament, or from other interpretations, pseudepigraphy or pseudepigrapha. The actual author was not the one named in its title. Sources such as 1 Enoch with verse 14 and the Assumption of Moses, verse 9, to support his points. You may ask, quote, was this acceptable since Jude was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? 2 Timothy 3:16. Do you have it?
Yes. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Because the Spirit of God is the life-giving Spirit that enters your body when you become born again of the Spirit, and the little infant Jesus enters into you, and the only way to continue on in Jesus is to use the proper interpretation, the Word of God, the way it really is. 2 Peter 1:20-21, and included material that was accurate and true in its affirmation. Was it? Go ahead, read it.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
So, including the included material that was accurate and true in its affirmation. Is that true?
Amen.
He did know differently than the Apostle Paul. Read the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 28. Read it, please.
For in him we live and move and have our being.
In whom? In the babe Jesus. And then we grow up as the word of true word of God is fed to the baby Jesus in us. Then he grows up to be a toddler, and then a young boy, and then a boy, and then a young man, and then a full-grown man, and then a giant. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so read that again.
For in him we live and...
Him. Who's him?
In Jesus.
In Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God himself. In him we do what?
We live and move and have our being.
Yes, and we grow also. we have our being. In other words, our being is no longer, after we study and build on that little babe Christ Jesus, the child, the infant in us, then we have our being. Then we grow up and we're able to make decisions by using the judgment of the Lord, the true judgment of God. Judge not, use God's judgment, the Bible says. Judge not, use not any other judgment than God's judgment. Amen?
Amen.
Because then we'll make it into him. Then what?
As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring.
Yes, we're offspring because the seed, which is Christ, the infant, is planted in us. And that seed has to grow, but it will not grow with false doctrine. Amen?
Amen.
It will only grow by the true water that waters the seed, which is the Word of God. Now, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33.
Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners.
Right. There's so much evil communication today that there isn't anything that that we can do about it except read the Word of God and receive it as it is. Okay? So when you look at the introduction of Jude, verse 1, it tells the author the date that he's a bondservant before the crucifixion and resurrection. Jude had denied Jesus as Messiah. That's in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. Read it, please.
Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joses and Simon and Judas?
In other words, isn't this just an ordinary guy when he was received into this human body, this male body, is an infant by the Holy Spirit entered into him, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He wasn't an ordinary man. Neither are you or I if we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as an infant, if we receive the kingdom of heaven as a little child, a little infant. Now, Mark 6, 3, and then John 7, 5. Mark 6, 3, read it.
Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him.
Yeah, offended. Most people are offended that they have to go back in life and become a babe. They have to let, if you're going to grow, this is, the spiritual realm is way different than the carnal or natural stage. And so you have to receive new life. And new life starts out as a babe. You're not going to accept Jesus as in the fullness, because if you try to do that, you're going to hell, because the Bible says, suffer not a novice to teach. All right? And so you are a new creature, new, brand new, an infant, and you must let Christ, your life is nailed to a cross, and you have to let him grow up in you, and the only way to do it is his way, his judgment. His judgment says that you must start out as a little child, fed the milk of the word, and then the chopped up junior food, and then later beefsteak. You're not going to do it overnight, and that's why there's so much heresy, false doctrine, puffed up pride of people that want to get along on their own. Okay, now read John 7:5.
For neither did his brethren believe in him.
Right. They didn't believe it. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you'll be saved. They saw him healing everybody in town. They saw him raise the dead many times. The Bible plainly states that there was many other times that he did all the things that he did, but that they left enough in the Word of God to show that this is definitely the Messiah, because nobody else has ever done it before and nobody ever will. Unless you believe the Lord so much, you have so much, you've received by studying so much faith from the Lord that you yourself can do the same thing as he did and even more, because you'll do things in the latter days that he hasn't done. But afterwards, came to humbly accept the knowledge of Christ himself, the knowledge of Christ the babe, the knowledge of Christ that shows that he grew up as a boy, then the knowledge of Christ when he came into his own, and then when he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. It was a gradual thing, and this is why patience means so much. And when you seek patience, remember, you're going to get tribulations along with it. You don't have to ask for tribulation. You'll receive it if you're going to receive the Word of God. That he was his slave, having submitted himself to Christ's lordship. In other words, that he's the boss. And if you want to go to heaven, you have to do what he said. He's the judge. He made up the right interpretation of the word. That's his judgment. Now receive it or die forever in hell, screaming your crazy head off. Now, it takes brother, it states the brother of James. James was the well-known leader of Jerusalem church. That's in the book of Acts, chapter 12:17. Read it.
But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place.
Chapter 15, verse 13.
And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me.
Yeah, listen to me. Okay, now, 21. Chapter 21, verse 18.
And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present.
All right, into James. Okay. In Galatians, chapter 2, verse 9.
And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision.
And he was the author of the epistle that carried his name, where it says that he was called, just like the average person is called, into the gospel. Everybody is called the same way. As always, in the epistles, this refers not to a general invitation to salvation, but to God's irresistible elected call to salvation. Romans 1:7.
To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, power to you and peace from God our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24.
But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God.
So Christ is the power and wisdom of God. In other words, God doesn't have any power without Christ. And God doesn't have any wisdom without Christ. Why is Christ the wisdom and power of God? Because salvation is the most important thing in the world. And once you receive it, to regain it, to retain it. And so there's no other power, there's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved but the name of Jesus. And therefore, if it's him, he holds the power of salvation. He's the only one that holds the power and wisdom of how to be saved. So the wisdom is to receive him. This is his judgment, to receive him, the kingdom of heaven, as a little child, and then to receive it as his judgment, because any other judgment is another interpretation, and any other judgment other than Christ will not get you into heaven, because it's fake, it's false, it's phony. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13, 14.
But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
Sanctification of the Spirit. In other words, the little babe Christ comes into you, and you're a new creature, and so therefore you know that he's there, and so you allow your former life to be nailed to the cross of Jesus, your old dead spirit, and then you begin walking by faith in the Word of God, which is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the judgment of God. The Word of God is God's judgment, and it's very clearly mapped out so that you won't make any mistake in receiving anything that is another interpretation, another judgment, which will not get your soul into the kingdom of God. Was that it?
Verse 14?
Yes.
Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining...
By our gospel. In other words, the only one and only gospel. There's no private interpretation. There's no other gospel. Anyone believe in any other gospel than that which we have taught you, let them be accursed. Amen?
Amen?
And then he repeats it again in Galatians 1. Then what?
To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, so you want to obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's glorious when you receive the new little babe in you, and it's glorious when you begin piling up the Word of God in you to where Jesus grows up to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And that's what we must have. This call, the first thing that it yields is fellowship with Christ. In other words, Christ enters you, and therefore you have fellowship with him. You don't have fellowship with him now. You're fellowshipping with the devil, and you're doing his will. This is 1 Corinthians 1, 9.
God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Right, so if you know anything other than the Word of God, which is his Son, the Word of God, which is God's judgment, is you're not fellowshipping with the Lord. Secondly, it gives us peace. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15.
But God hath called us to peace.
And thirdly, it gives us freedom. Galatians 5:13.
For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh.
The liberty to grow in Christ, to be able to have power over a bondage, which is Satan's bondage. If you have liberty over Satan's bondage, then you're free. Not to sin, but free to serve the Lord. The Lord died to get you out of the prison of Satan, so that you could have freedom to serve the Lord. So a worthy walk. And this is Ephesians 4:1.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called.
Yes, walk in the true interpretation of the Word of God. Walk according to Christ, who is the Word of God. Walk according to God's, the Lord's judgment. Chapter 7 of Matthew, where it says, judge not, don't use your own interpretation, but use God's judgment. And fifthly, hope. Ephesians 4:4.
There is one body and one spirit.
Only one body, one spirit, one interpretation. Right?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling.
Amen. First and sixthly, holiness. 1 Peter 1:15.
But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation.
Yes, well, how can you be holy in all manner of conversation? That's because Jesus is in you. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing else is in you. Okay, 1 Peter 3:9.
Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing.
Amen. And eighthly, eternal glory. 1 Peter 5:10.
But the God of all grace, who hath called us...
That means the God of all power. Jesus says all power in heaven and on earth belongs to him. Then what?
But the God of all power, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish...
Perfect! In other words, the people today, these false prophets and teachers saying, no one's perfect. I was going by a graveyard yesterday, and it was a big one. And I asked the Lord in my inside of me, I said, Lord, how many of those people are in heaven? How many of them made it into heaven? And I said, half of them? He said, no. I said, a fourth of them? He said, no. An eighth of them? No. 10 of them? No. How many, Lord? I said, one? He said, yes, only one person in that whole graveyard is in heaven today. Now, that was a big graveyard, wasn't it?
Yes.
And I told you about what I just discovered from the Lord. So you can look at all the graveyards in the world, and most of them, they'll be very surprising to you that there's only one or two, maybe not even one, in some of them that are in heaven. Okay, so 1 Peter 5:10, you read that? Read it again.
But the God of all power, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish...
Perfect is the key word there. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Establish, strengthen, settle you.
Okay, then the Bible talks of, quote, power or grace of our God. The power of our God. Which is actually power of our God. Verse 4.
And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
Do you think that God just hands out eternal life and power to disobedient people? If you think such a thing as that, your judgment is wrong. Your interpretation is wrong. You have never read the Bible. It says, Beloved, John 13:1, 14:23, 16:27, 17:20-23. John 13:1, please.
Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end.
Yeah, they were beloved. That's the Lord loves us. That keep us, that received him as a little infant and led him, and we run our lives according to his word, his judgment. And we don't judge with our own judgment. John 14:23.
Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
Yeah, if you love me, keep my commandments, keep my words. If you don't, if you forget them every day, then you don't love the Lord. And let me clue you in. You're off, you're using your own judgment, and the Lord hates you for that. He hates you, okay? So you better wise up, because the word isn't going to go away, okay? We're going to be judged by that on the final day. Okay, John 16:27.
For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me.
And yeah, you've loved his word. You've loved the be having a little infant Jesus in you and him growing in you. Then what?
And you have believed that I came out from God.
Amen. Romans 5:8. You believe I came out from God. In other words, you believe the Bible. You believe God's judgment, his word. That's Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the entire word of God, all the judgment of God, and thou shalt be saved. Believe that you must receive me. This is the judgment of God as a little babe, and thou shalt be saved. Then what?
Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah, we were still sinners. All right, my time is up. You got a lot of good learning today, didn't you?
Amen.
Amen. So, at this time, I always give everybody an opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus as a little child, an infant in them, like the Bible, like Jesus said we must, to receive the kingdom of heaven as a little child. So let's do this. Let's pray and receive the kingdom of heaven in your heart now. A little babe Jesus. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. That's what your word says. You said you'll turn no one away. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, Sharon, tell everyone how they can receive a copy of this program, number 519.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505. Or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370. Or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow for another powerhouse of the message for you and for your loved ones. This is J.D. Sumner. With the Stamps Quartet and the Jordanaires to sing for you, You'll Never. If you're with the little babe Christ Jesus and he's growing up in you, you'll never walk alone.
Oh, never walk alone. Walk on,
walk on,
walk on,
walk on,
with hope,
with hope,
within your heart,
and
you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk, you'll never walk alone.